Hey, this is Scott, and I am an American in Bangkok, and I have to apologize for not doing my podcast a week after the last podcast. I'm trying to do more podcasts. I don't have enough time in the day, and you know what? I don't have as much energy as I used to be completely honest. A little bit less energy than in the past. I don't particularly do well when I'm doing things around the house. I've been trying to finish up this book, and part of me's happy with it. Part of me's like, I got to go into it deeper, and I might as well start on the other book. And you know, I'm trying to put together some photo projects because that's when I'm happiest, when I'm out taking photos and kind of doing videos on the side. You know, when I first started making videos, and it's been 3.5 years now, I didn't really even think it would be a regular thing. I just thought, I'll do it to pass the time. Maybe I'll make a buck or two, you know. And now it's become this thing where I'm getting messages all the time, and I've got people running into me on the streets, and, you know, it's I mean, be careful what you wish for because you just might get it. I always remember that. And I really didn't wish for this. It just kind of happened, but now I feel kind of obligated in many ways. But, you know, I feel obligated to myself first. And that might sound selfish. I don't think so. But it might to some people. Because I've got a lot of things on my plate, you know, between the kids and, you know, I got my two sons and they're getting older and they need me around a little bit more than in the past. Part of me has been wanting to figure out if I want to go somewhere like Turkey or Iraqi Kurdistan and or the Ukraine, or I've been wanting to go someplace different and someplace where I could get some photos in like a refugee camp or something like that. I even looked into going to Yemen, but that basically was nixed about 15 minutes into my research. And you know, right now I'm trying to figure out, okay, well, if I'm not going to go to these places, then I'll stick to Thailand. It doesn't cost as much. I don't have to worry as much. I'm not going to get shot at in all likelihood. And, you know, I get to stay close to home, and maybe I can bring the kids with me, but they're starting school. They're starting school, and I'd like to go back to Myanmar in January or February. I want to go to Hong Kong because I want to get some shots from Hong Kong. I want to go back to Indonesia. I'd like to go back to Cambodia. So that's four places. And, you know, if I went to one place every, say, 3 months, I could probably swing that. But I still got to make, I still got to make money from it. I got to make my money back. And then the thing is that if I have a body of work that I earn money from in from those trips, then in the long run, you know, it's basically passive income because hopefully I can get some money from the stock photos that I shoot. And hopefully some from the photos that make it as prints. You know, so it's just kind of like, okay, can I get my money back in the next couple of months? Can I earn it back from these trips? Whether it's from video, from photos, from everything combined that I earned from the trip. And then, hopefully the photos and the videos will continually make money and I'll end up earning a fair sum of money from it. That's how I work, pretty much. And then I have my book. First of all, you know, listen, if you haven't picked up my book yet, They Call Me Farang, it's, you know, you could sit on the crapper and read a chapter or two, and within a couple of dumps, you could probably read the whole book. It's about 168 pages. This new book is going to be somewhere between 250 and 300 pages. I think it's going to end up at about 268, maybe 288. I'm not really sure yet. But it really depends. I have a couple chapters that I need to write. As, you know, a lot of the stuff is, a lot of the stuff is letters from people like you. The names have been changed to protect the clueless and, or the foolish. And, yeah, so between the book, which, you know, I mean, I wake up, I do my little, I read the news, I have my espresso in the morning, and then I, you know, I get started in my day, I start writing, and then 3-4 hours later, I'm done. And then it's like, all right, what do I have to do? Do I got errands to do today? Do I got videos to do today? And quite frankly, I was going to go out today. I thought, hey, I'm going to go out, I got to go get some money from the bank. And, I thought, yeah, go get some money from the bank, and I'll go do something, you know, go run an errand or two, or go look around for something, and I'll make a vlog out of it. But to be completely honest, I've never really been comfortable with sharing my life and carrying around a video camera to record my life. And I just thought today, I thought, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it today. And then I've been sitting behind the desk for the past couple of months. And if anybody has noticed, I've not been answering letters from these chowderheads who tend to write me. And they still write me. I just haven't been answering their questions. And my numbers have gone down. So, you know, when I go out and take photos, when I go out and do vlogs, when I don't do videos about guys who are complete idiots, or they're foolish, or they're just inexperienced, the numbers tend to fall. And that means less money. And, you know, I need every penny I can get so that I can travel. And that's the whole name of the game for me. It's all about, it's kind of like making movies. My buddy makes movies who, I was supposed to go to Ecuador, in the last 2 months. And he changed everything around to where the people in the videos are all women. You know, I guess TNA sells. So I'm not going to Ecuador. Okay, that's fine. You know, no, I understand these things happen. But what he does is he raises the money. He makes the video, or the movie, rather, and then from there, he hopefully will make that money back, pay back all the money, and then make money on top of that so that he can continue and maybe he has enough money to make another movie. You know, he's got his own money. You know, just, let's say he puts in 30 grand, and he says, hey, I got 30 grand. I need another 70,000 just for this little project. And then the people come up with the money. Hopefully he raises it. And then he keeps making movies. And, you know, that's how it works. And it's kind of the same thing with the taking photos. I don't take photos for any magazines anymore. And every time that I took photos before for the magazines, it was all on spec, or they just bought my stuff. I shot for HBO. I shot for McLean magazine. I shot for just the Bangkok Post. I sold all kinds of photos to all kinds of people and magazines. I got into that because of the boxing, and boxing led me to traveling. And then I sold a lot of travel stuff. So now I'm like going, okay, I don't want to get involved in boxing. I'm completely fed up with the sport. I'm fed up with the most of the people in the sport that control the sport. If I could say what I wanted to say about some of the people in the sport, I probably would get kicked out of Thailand. You know, the boxers here, they're not going to say anything because they're not in a position to say anything. If they say anything, and they're not somebody who's earning a ton of money for the promoters, they're out on their ass. It's as simple as that. So, you know, anyway, that's where I'm at. If you wanted to pick up that They Call Me For Wrong book of mine, You can do so by going to theycallmefarang.com. You can pick up an audio version. If you want to get the audio version, you can save $5 on it. Use the code, when you check out, use the code Farang1616. You'll save $5, okay? $9.95. I think the special that I had running is still going. I think the Kindle version is something like $7.99. It's not bad. I mean, you know, really. And, you know, it helps me. That's the thing. I don't want to take money from people for nothing. I want to earn my money. And that's why, you know, I wrote the book and I'm writing other books and I plan on doing a photo book. My buddy has just been bugging the hell out of me to make a photo book. He thinks I'm an idiot for not doing it sooner. I move in slow motion. I mean, what can I say? You know, I mean, I got 50 things to do. I put it on a list, and then I got 10 lists of 50. Somehow it morphs into 10 lists, and then I get like 3 things out of 500 done. You know, that's kind of how I operate. I'm not always the most organized person, and I kind of fly by the seat of my pants. But, you know, I want to talk about a bunch of things today. But the first thing is that, you know, I'm sitting in a taxi today, and, you know, I went to the mall to get some money, go to the ATM, I go chill out for a few minutes, have something to eat, and relax, and I'm reading my book, and, you know, I'm like, all right, I'm just chilling out, I'm going to go home now. I go get a couple things from grocery, I go home, I'm in the taxi, and it dawned on me, because the taxi driver was very friendly. He's like, hey, how are you, where you go? Oh, do I go this way? Yes, okay, oh, thank you, my friend, how long you stay in Thailand, you know, trying to make conversation with me. And it dawned on me that most taxi drivers, they fall into one of two camps here in Thailand. It's either they want to know everything about you, and, you know, if you're in the mood, which I was all right, I didn't have any problem with it, I don't mind, you know, striking up a little conversation. And they either want to know everything about you, where do you come from, how old are you married, you got kids, blah, blah, blah. Or they don't say a word to you and they're listening to their red shirt station, their pro-Thai station or whatever, and they just completely ignore you. Which is, that's fine with me too, except I don't want to hear their station. And I think there's some kind of a law or something now. Where the drivers are not supposed—they're not supposed to be playing music. I don't think it's a law. I think they've been recommended not to play music or listen to their kind of—I don't know if it's pro tie or whatever. It's like a red shirt station. You know, every once in a while, I'll get in with a guy like that. And you know, the other day I was with my kid. I'm taking him to his ROTCS, you know, it's like the ROTC, you know, for the Marines here, and we're sitting in the taxi. This guy's got his radio blaring, and it's of this station, whatever it is, you know, he's talking about tie this and tie that, and, you know, whatever, okay, he's, you know, good on him, he's, you know, he's got national pride, blah, 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 but I didn't want to hear it. So I put my headphones on, which is what I always do. I don't want no hassle with nobody. In fact, if I had it my way, I'd just walk around. There wouldn't be any people around. I mean, you know, that's kind of how it is, because I don't want any hassle. You know, I just don't want any hassle with people anymore. I don't want to fight with anybody. I don't want to argue with anybody. I'm just lazy about that. I just don't have any gumption to, you know, like, get smart with some guy and start a problem and have to deal with it. And that's the thing. So I said to him very politely, hey, you know, can you please turn down your radio? Because I put the headphones in, I'm trying to listen to a song, and then I turned it to a podcast, and all I hear is his station. I can't hear myself think, much less listen to something else. So I tell him, hey, you know, can you please turn it down? And he looks at me, and you could see he was pissed off. So he turns it down. Good on him, you know, whatever, okay, great, I'm glad you turned it down, thank you very much, tell him thank you, you know. And it just dawned on me today that that's how these people are. You very seldom find a guy who just says, hey, how are you, man?
Yeah, pretty good.
All right, where are you going, Matt? Yeah, I'm going down there to the mall. Okay, thank you. You know, boom, goodbye. It's not like that. Most of the time, and if you know, you're on a... And let me tell you, the reason... One thing that I noticed also is that lately I have not felt like going anywhere. I don't feel like going out. Because when you live in a place in Bangkok where you really need transportation to get around, whether it's, you know, you're driving a car, whether you're in a car, whether you're on a motorbike, whatever it is, for the most part, there are so many people that getting around is a pain in the ass. And going to the mall has become a pain in the ass for me. It used to be very easy. I used to just walk right out in front of my house, and I used to get a Songtao and take it, and it would take me to the little Happy Land Center, which is across the street from the mall. Now, sometimes I don't mind walking across the street to the mall, but in the summer it's very hot, and I don't want to walk across the street and go into the mall, and I'm already sweating. Or I just don't feel like walking. I don't want to walk across the street, you know. So I wave down the street, and a motorbike will come and pick me up. Now, I used to have this guy that I called him all the time, and he would come pick me up. But, you know, it got to be where, you wait 15 minutes, you wait 20 minutes. I'm like, man, I don't want to wait 20 minutes. I'm standing out in front of my house. I want to go now. I don't want to go in 20 minutes. You know, I'm meeting somebody, and I'm meeting him in 10 minutes. I don't want to go in 20 or 25. You know, I'm eating breakfast now. Yeah, okay, all right. So today I go out in front of my house. I wave somebody down. They see me, and they know me, and I never have a problem with these guys. They always want to take me. You know, well, I can't say they always want to take me, but they generally take me. And you know, there's a couple of different guys, and if they're around, I almost never have any problem at all. Nothing. They take me, it's okay. But a lot of them, they don't want to drive across the street, because what it means is they have to make a U-turn, and there's some traffic, because nowadays there's a lot of traffic in this area. You know, you get down to Lodprow Road, there's traffic all along Lodprow Road. It's a pain in the ass. So a lot of them don't want to go. So what I do is I say, here's 30 baht, take me to the mall. And I'd say 90% of the time, it's not a problem. They take me right to the mall, as they should. So today, this lady picks me up. Yeah, she's, I don't know how old she is, whatever, but she's been driving for a while. You know, she's like got the little gloves on you know, you could tell she's a professional. So she pulls up. Finally, you know, I'm waving at this guy. He doesn't come down and pick me up. A guy drives by. Oh, yeah, yeah, the guy down there will pick you up, because they've got to go in turns. You see, nobody wants to pick you up if there's somebody else that's supposed to be in front of you, because that's taking their money away, which I understand. Guy goes, oh, yeah, yeah, this guy. I go, the guy's not picking me up, man. I'm telling him, hey, the guy, no, just come on. No, 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 no. He don't want it. You know what he does? He goes down the street and he sits there on his motorbike. I can see him. He's just sitting there. He don't want to take me. The other guy doesn't want to go. I'm like, Jesus Christ. What's happening? It's not me. If it was me, I could understand. Because, I mean, I'd usually say two words to these guys. That's it. You know, I go here, and then when I get off the bike, I'm like, thank you, you know. So finally, this lady comes, and she pulls up. I give her the 30 baht, which I always paid him ahead of time, because this way, I give him the 30 baht, they pull right in front of the mall, and if there's any people around or whatever, I don't have to stand there, and you know, they're in an area where there's a lot of people, so it's a bit of a pain in the neck to get in and out or whatever. No, I just pay them beforehand, which I've been doing for years, and then as soon as I get off the bike, I just go right into the mall. So I knew it for some reason. I could just feel it. She did not want to go across the street. So I tell the lady, hey, you know, I'm going to go to the mall. Buy the mall, Bangkapi. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Now, I could tell her, go to the pier, which is in the back of the mall. It's the same price. And they don't ever have a problem with that. But when I say, I want to go to the mall, they go, oh, do you want to go across the street? Yeah, I want to go across the street. I don't want to walk. Call me lazy, whatever. If I feel like walking, then I don't have a problem. I'll walk or whatever. But what it is that if I'm going to walk, then basically I got to go through this little happy land. Then I got to go upstairs. Then I got to go downstairs. You know, it's just a bit of a headache. It's not a big deal, but it's just a pain in the ass. I'd rather just go to the frickin' mall, get off, and boom, I'm in the mall. You know what I mean? So we get to where we're going to hit Lodprow Road, and she pulls over to the side, which is, it's at Happyland Center. She pulls over to the side. She goes, okay. I said, I paid you 30 baht. This is 15 baht. Why would I give you 30 baht to drive me here? I want to go across the street. Oh. So she starts complaining about going across the street because of traffic. And I said, let me ask you something. What are you working for? She said, I don't understand. I say, you work for what? You work for money, right? Yes. Okay, well, you're getting money from me for going across the street. So she's like, man, I don't want to go across the street. I'm like, you know what? Listen, you don't want to go across the street? Fine, give me my money back. She's like, well, I don't want to go across the street, but I don't want to give you your money back. I'm like, too bad. Either take me across the street or give me my money back, you know. And she's grumbling the whole time about how there's traffic and this. And I said, you know what? You're just lazy. I told her. I said, let me just ask you something. Why is it you have such a problem doing this? Oh, because of traffic. I said, you drive every day on your motorbike in traffic. All you have to do is drive across the street. It takes you 2 minutes. Why do you have such a problem to take me to the mall? And she did not want to answer. She just, I said, okay, fine. You know, whatever. You know, she got the money. I got what I wanted. Goodbye. But bottom line is that some of them, what I've noticed, maybe they're earning more money now. I don't know. Or maybe they're pissed off they're earning, their money doesn't go as far anymore and they feel like they should be earning more. Or maybe they just figure, you know, why won't he give me anything extra? But what they don't know is that when I had the guy driving me all the time, he was around all the time, every once in a while I'd go, here's 40 baht, here's 50 baht, just keep the change. Go buy yourself something to eat or whatever, you know? I'd give him 50 baht, and it cost 30 baht. I'd be like, hey, you know, get a little something to eat, whatever, you know, get yourself a coffee. And you got little coffee shops, they're all over the place, they're 20 baht there. You know. And it's like, and so I don't feel bad for these people. I don't feel bad for taxi drivers. Now, Thailand is an inexpensive place for taxis. However, just because it's inexpensive doesn't mean that they don't have to do their job. It's not like, well, I don't make that much, so I'm not going to take you where you want to go. Bullshit. You either take me where I want to go, or I'll find another way. I mean, you know, like, listen, if it really gets to be a hassle, I will walk across the street. It won't be a big deal. I'll just go, all right, these guys don't want to take me? Fuck it. Or I'll just get a regular taxi. You know, I mean, that's what's great about Grab Taxi. But the thing is when, you know, taking a Grab Taxi to the mall, if I was to do that every day, it would cost me, it's cost me like maybe 30 baht more to take the taxi than the motorbike. It cost me 60 baht instead of 30, so it's double the money. I mean, you know, it's not a huge amount of money, but it adds up over the course of a year. I don't want to do that. But if I was going somewhere else, now when I go somewhere else, I mean, I never take a motorbike. Seldom do I take a motorbike anywhere other than the mall. I take a taxi. So what I found is if I get a Grab Taxi, or rarely do I get an Uber, because an Uber is quite a bit more money. If I get a Grab Taxi, they always are either very polite or they're in the middle where they don't say a word. They just say, where do you want to go? Okay, thank you. Yep, I'll go. Okay, let's go. Boom. You get there. Here you go, sir. Thank you. Goodbye. That's it, which is fine. They don't have to talk to me and ask me all, you know, 20 questions. I don't have to know everything about them. They don't have to know everything about me. And, you know, that's fine with me. So I like taking the Grab taxi. But the taxi drivers, the motorbike taxi drivers around my house, they're getting ridiculous, you know. Anyway, listen, you know, I still had a lot of things going on here. One thing that I've been dealing with lately is I have a buddy that I've known him, you know, I don't know him real well, but I've known him for about a year and a half now, 2 years. And when I met him, he had just found out that he had liver cancer. And he had like 2 years to live. And for some reason, I just thought the guy, you know, was strong and was going to beat it. And then he had some kind of a intestinal surgery. But apparently the cancer had spread. And it's completely encased his liver. It's up in his lung. It's in his heart. And I think in his stomach as well. And, you know, he hasn't been doing so good. He's been in and out of the hospital. And at first it was like, all right, you know, he kind of was sarcastic. And, you know, he still had his sarcasm and his humor. And he was still able to laugh and joke and talk. And he was a little weak at times. But I went out with him and also with one of our buddies a couple weeks ago and went to McDonald's. And just met at McDonald's, and he had something to eat. And usually he has a hard time eating because of his liver problem. The liver can't assimilate the food. It can't help digest the food. It's not doing what it's supposed to. So he feels ill after he eats. So, you know, we were able to sit and talk for an hour and a half, 2 hours. Then he's like, I got to go home. I have to go home. I'm like, all right. So about a week ago, he went back into the hospital, and he didn't look as good as before, but I thought, hey, he'll be all right, you know, he's going to get out. And that's not how cancer works. And he's the first person that I've known directly who I've visited in the hospital who has had cancer. I've known a lot of people who had it, but I never went and visited them, or they were living far away from me or whatever, but he's somebody that I feel the need to go visit, and not only for his sake but for mine, because I feel it's a good thing to do. You know, if I can make the guy happy, and you know, we would laugh and joke. It's just a week or so ago, I went in with another guy, and we all sat there and we had a great laugh. You know, we were talking about women. Of course, somehow the conversation turned back around to women. We started laughing and I went in. I hadn't seen him in a couple of days. I hadn't been to see him in about 4 days. I left him a message on his phone. He didn't write me back, and I figured, well, you know, who knows what's going on. I better go see him. So one of my buddies, I was getting ready to go see him on Saturday, and one of my buddies sent me a message and said he's not doing very well. And I said, well, you know, he hasn't been doing very well for a while, but okay, I'm going to go see him tomorrow. So I went and saw him, and it was heartbreaking. Seriously, I mean, that's the only way I can describe it, because this is a guy who, he's a tough dude. He's been around, I mean, he's almost 70, but he's a tough dude, been around, great sense of humor, really liked the guy. He and I, we hit it off, American guy, and, you know, he could barely hold a glass of water, he could barely sit up, he couldn't sit up. And he couldn't hold a glass of water. He kept dropping a glass of water, and then the nurses were trying to wipe him up, and he's getting pissed off at them. And he's really pissed off at himself, and he's not even pissed off at himself. He's pissed off, I think, that he has cancer. He's pissed off about it because he knows that his time is really limited. And, I mean, at this point, you know, I've went to see him a couple times. I went to his house. I went to see him at the hospital. And this time I had to, I felt the need to say goodbye. And that was really hard. Because you don't know what to say. I didn't know what to say. You know, he's not my mother or father. He's not somebody part of my family. He's just a guy that I know, and we become friends. Which, for me, that's saying a lot, because, I mean, I do become friends with people, you know, every so often, and they stay friends. Generally, the people that I become friends with stay friends, because I don't, you know, you ever sit on a chair and your ass is sticking to the chair? Well, that's what mine's doing. So, excuse me. Got to give myself a little scratch there, if you know what I mean. So, you know, he's a friend. So, I mean, I'm fairly close to him, but I'm not real close to him. So it's not like, you know, I could sit there and blubber with him and you know, hug him. And, you know, we're not really that close. But we, you know, we've become good friends. And I told him before, I said, you know, you can't go. Because we're just starting to become really good friends, and, you know, it's you just can't. And, you know, he laughed about it or whatever, but I had to leave. You know, I had to leave. I you know, I put my hand on his shoulder, and I said, you know, just know that your wife and kids are well. They're okay. There are people that will make sure they're okay. They care about them. You're good people. And, you know, please just get some rest and be at peace, you know. Try to be at peace. Don't worry about anything. And, you know, he'd get pissed off at the nurses, or he'd get pissed off at the wife or whatever. And I told him, you know, please just be at peace. Try to be at peace. And I know it's not easy, but I other than that, I don't really know what to say, you know, but you know, I want you to try to take it easy, buddy. I gotta go. And as I was walking out the door, he said, good luck. Good luck, my friend. And, yeah, I mean, even, you know, I mean, even now, it kind of, you know, I may come off sometimes on my videos or, you know, I can have I have a tough exterior, but on the inside, I'm a softie. And when it comes to people who I care about, maybe that's why I have friends that I've had for many, many years, is because I do care about people. I do care about others. And I try to help people. And I tried to help him. You know, he said to me, the first time he went in the hospital, I said, you know, how you doing, buddy? Do you need anything? And he said, well, you know, I could use a little Burmese girl to come in here and scratch my balls. Which, you know, made me laugh. And I said, well, you know, your wife can probably do that for you. And then I started thinking about it. And so I went out and bought him a back scratcher, one of those wooden, you know, little hands. And I brought that in and I said, listen, I can't bring the Burmese girl in, but this will have to do, you know. And he loved it. So, you know, I don't know how much longer he's going to last. I hope, you know, if he has a quality of life that he's happy with, that he lives for a long time. But, you know, I mean, I'm expecting the worst, and, yeah, I don't know. I'll be surprised if he makes it more than a day or two. So that's been kind of hard on me. While I'm, you know, trying to do everything else, and then it's like, you know, I feel like I owe it to him. I don't owe it to him, but I feel like I should, as a friend, I should be there for him, and just to let him know that somebody cares, somebody else cares. Just to know that as a buddy, I care about him. And yeah, so I don't know. You know, that's been something that I've never had to deal with before. And I know that now that I'm getting older, you know, I just turned 54. I'm getting older, and it's only going to get worse. More and more people are going to start to drop off, and that sucks, you know. But that's life. So let's see, what else did I want to talk about? Well, you know, now one reason that I didn't do my video before, actually, I did do the video. But I felt I went a little bit overboard, maybe too overboard. Maybe that means I should have put it up, but I went a little bit too overboard with the podcast. And I was debating on editing it and stuff. And in the interim, James Comey, you know, from the FBI, came out and said, hey, Clinton is under investigation again. So, now I feel like, wow, because, you know, I did talk about that. And I find it really, this whole presidential, the whole campaign on both parties, for both parties, is completely ridiculous. I mean, where is the honor? You could talk about honor, but if you don't carry yourself with dignity and prestige and honor, then how are people going to respect you as a leader of the free world? You know, America has its share of problems, and I'm a little bit irritated by those problems. One of them is that the government is viewed by many, including myself, as corrupt. And I do believe it. I believe Hillary Clinton's corrupt. Listen, I believe Trump is as corrupt as they come too, but I believe he's probably the lesser of two evils. And, you know, that's pretty scary. And then I watched a movie the other day about Pat Tillman, who was a professional football player who gave up his career after, I think he'd played like 3 or 4 years. He gave up his career to go fight in, I think it was Afghanistan. Now, he went in as a, you know, he was like a private. I don't know why he didn't go in as an officer. I thought he had, you know, he completed his college education. But he went in and was a private and became a, what did he call it? He's in Special Forces. And he ended up getting killed. And he gets killed. And his family is told that he got killed, at first he got killed by the Taliban. Then it turns out that he got killed by friendly fire. Well, they knew this all along in the first place, but they didn't want to tell his family. And what they did was they used him politically as a tool instead of telling his family the truth. And then his family... They went through his mother went through all of these papers, boxes of papers of redacted documents, and pieced together what happened. And the general in charge, or the generals in charge, they knew exactly what happened, but they lied to her, and they lied to his family. They knew full well. Then they went in front of Congress. She put it out there and it had to go to Congress. And the generals lied in front of Congress. And Congress, pussies that they are, they didn't call the generals on everything. They just said, oh, okay, okay, you didn't know about it. Oh, okay, okay, okay. Really? I mean, you know, come on. It's the same thing with Clinton. You got Clinton who, from what she has done, just from lying, she should be in jail. I think there's some general out there. He's like a one. What is he? Is he a one star? Or I don't know if he's. I don't know how many stars he is. But he lied to Congress. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But he lied, and I think he's losing his pension. He's being dishonorably discharged. He's getting all these things, and I don't know if he's doing time. But. He got in a hell of a lot of trouble. Now, Hillary Clinton does it. Oh, well, you know, hey, the election's coming. You know, we don't want to make any problems. What do you mean you don't want to make any problems? This is a problem. If she's lying, whether it's in the emails or any other time, and she has lied many times, you see, she's lied many, many times, and people know it. And they let it go, and they let it go, and they let it go. You know, when she answers questions, like she's, what is he, Ollie North? I do not recall. She does her best impression of him. I do not recall. I don't remember. Oh, I don't know what a C means. Really? And you're the Secretary of State? You're a fucking idiot. I don't want you in... You know, this is the thing. I heard some senator once saying, I don't know what we're going to do about it. We'll just have to let God take over. And I'm like, really? That's your solution? We're going to let God take over? So the people... What it is people to people. Just because they got into office, they were smart enough to figure out a way to, or lucky enough to get into office. It doesn't mean that they actually are smart enough to do the job. I mean, you know, it's like somebody who goes in for a job interview and they're great at interviewing, but when it comes to doing their job, they don't know what the fuck they're doing. It's the same thing. Let me see, where are we at time here? Because I got a few things, I got a schedule to stick to. You know, got things to do, places to go, people to see. Well, not really, but I just want to keep this, not right now, it's a Sunday evening. Is that what it is? Yeah, Sunday evening. And, but I mean, you know, people are worried about all these things. They're worried about Donald Trump and him saying, grab the pussy. Oh, grab her by the pussy. And this guy, Billy Bush, this poor fucking guy. He loses his job because he's playing around with... I mean, this kind of shit would have never happened in the 50s or 60s. People wouldn't have given a shit. They would have been like, shut the fuck up, I don't want to know about it. Oh, really? Oh, okay. What, you think that when John F. Kennedy was banging Marilyn Monroe, that he wasn't, you know, talking dirty to her? Yeah, he was talking dirty to her. Guarantee. You think Bill Clinton's getting a blowjob from Monica Lewinsky and he's not, you know... Telling her he's going to blow in her mouth? Or on her dress? I mean, if you think about that, that's hilarious. Dude blows his load on her dress and gets busted because because you can find the semen in her dress. It's ridiculous. So you're going to talk about that, and then he says, oh, grab her by the pussy. Yeah, he's talking shit. Like you said, it's locker room talk. You know? If you think that guys don't talk like that, listen, if you're a guy and you've never talked like that, then you're living in a dream world. Because I've been in many a locker room with guys who played football, guys who were boxers, teams of guys. And guys talk like that. Guys talk shit. And they may just be talking shit. Most of them, they just talk shit and that's it. I'm going to bend her over. Yeah, I'm going to grab her and, you know... Sticking in her ass or whatever it might be. Doesn't mean that they're actually going to do it. Means maybe they want to do it. But that doesn't, you know. And so, if it comes down to issues, I'm not sure who I want to pick. Because, first of all, Trump brings up a good point, and he probably didn't think of this himself. But Hillary Clinton's been, she's been in business for 30 years. Around 30 years. And the government is in the fucking toilet right now. As far as I'm concerned, the U.S. is a complete clusterfuck. Honestly, I don't know if I want to go back to America. I mean, I'm an American, and you know what? Bury me in America. I know it doesn't sound like much to people, but bury my ass in America. I would like to go somewhere in the little, you know, I don't give a shit if it's in the Ozark Mountains. I don't care if I'm in the Appalachians. I don't care. As long as it's away from people, I'm just chilling out on my porch with a jug of tequila, a big doobie, my wife, my kids around somewhere. You know, I got my dog sitting next to me. Hey, that's fine with me. Then I go. All right. But to go back, you know, say in 5 years and live another 20 years, I don't know. I just wonder, because, you know, it's like nowadays, what's happened to freedom of speech? I mean, when is it, it's already, speech is already governed. You can't say this, you can't say that, you can't say this, you can't say this. Oh, it will hurt me. Really? Fuck. And I hate to fall back on this, but, you know, just think about the old sticks and stones. That's all you got to do. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never harm me. I don't care if somebody calls me a honky, trailer trash, a hillbilly, yeehaw. I don't care what they call me. Country bumpkin. It doesn't matter. You know why? Because I don't care. It doesn't hurt me. Now, maybe I have thick skin, and I have built up that thick skin when it comes to things like this. Maybe. But the government should not be allowed to govern what speech is used by people. And that's the direction this PC bullshit, this movement, which I think people are sick of it, which is why they like Trump. He just talks shit. He just says whatever he wants. And it's like, you know what? If you don't like it, fuck you. Nobody's paying my way, honey. I'm not beholden to anybody, even though he might be. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think Trump's going to win. I think he has a damn good chance. Some guy, I don't remember, some professor that has picked like the last 8 presidents in a row, is picking Trump, and he hasn't been wrong in 8 terms. He said, hey, anything can happen, but I'm going to say Trump. And that doesn't necessarily mean that I believe that he's going to win because of that. But I believe because now with all the shit going on with Clinton, you don't. What really strikes me is that this guy Comey is not going to just say, I don't know what's out there, but we found some emails, so we better issue a letter and say something about what's going on. No, you know what? He's saying something because he wants it to affect the election, and not necessarily because he believes in Trump. I think what it is she's got some kind of dirt, is dirt on her. Somebody's got a shitload of dirt. And if you think about it, if Wikipedia had anything to do with it, Wikipedia and what's his name, Assange, have been saying there's a bombshell. We got it. We're going to, you know, it's going to be released. Well, here's a bombshell. So guess what? Maybe she did something. Maybe she's done something that people are going to go, this chick can't be president. The United States is in turmoil right now. I think that in theory, that the way things are and the laws and that are supposed to guide the country and the elections are inherently, they are good. But I think that in this time, for some reason, they have been manipulated and changed. And I don't know. I mean, I think that this is a different era than, say, 20 years ago, and I think that it's having an effect on people, and the country is extremely divided. It would not surprise me either way. Trump wins, there's going to be protests, there's going to be people rioting. Clinton wins, there's going to be people protesting, rioting, claiming that the voting has been rigged. And let me tell you something. I vote. I'm registered in Florida, and I have received all of my ballots without any problem, except the presidential ballot. Now, they said they sent it on the 6th of October. The lady told me, oh, you should have had it by the 7th. I said, well, I didn't get it. You're going to have to send me another. So they're supposed to send it to me by Tuesday, but That doesn't sit very well with me, because she's trying to tell me, oh, maybe it's in your junk mail. Maybe I'm like, listen, honey, I get mail and it goes in my junk mail and I look at what it is. I don't just delete everything. It doesn't get automatically deleted in my junk box. I'm like, I've got all the other ballots. I've got all my other emails. I haven't missed one email. No one's complained about it. No one said anything to me. Oh, you missed all my emails. No. So what's going on, honey? Oh, well, just wait until Tuesday, and then we'll see. I did put a note to make sure of it. You get emailed. I'm like, okay. So one way or the other, I'm going to vote, whether I have they have a like an emergency ballot that you can send in. And I'm going to vote. As much as it hurts, it does pain me to vote, because neither candidate is worth a shit, in my opinion. But if you don't vote, then guess what? Somebody who could cause some, well, I don't know. I mean, you know, you can look at it in many different ways. You know, you could vote for an independent. You could not vote. You could abstain for voting. And what I've heard is that what people might do is, instead of voting for Trump as opposed to Hillary, maybe they were going to vote for Hillary, but now they don't want to vote for her because they just don't trust her. And the trust factor, the dishonesty factor, right now, I think is at an all-time high. And so they don't want to vote for Hillary anymore, but they don't want to vote for Trump, so they're just not going to vote. I don't know anything about the independents, and perhaps I should, but I forgot what the one guy did, but he did something pretty stupid. He couldn't name, like, I forget what it was, but he couldn't do something, and it was like, really? You're gonna run for the presidency and you don't even know that? That's what I remember thinking. So, but anyway. So I don't know, you know, if who knows if I'll ever go live in the United States again. I think I probably will at some point in my life, at least part-time. We'll see. But I don't know. It's I think the world is actually waiting because there's a lot riding on this election. And, you know, one thing that I thought was, hey, what would happen if the military just decided to stop bombing these places in the Middle East? I'm not talking about ISIS. I'm talking about, okay, you deal with the ISIS problem, you deal with Syria, but you get out of some of these other countries. And the U.S. doesn't want to. And I've heard people call the United States a warmongering country. And as much as it hurts me, I think maybe in a way they are. The governments are. Because they know if they have the control in many aspects. They have the control. They have a lot of control in the world. And they don't want to lose that. And, you know, like, listen, honestly, I kind of wish I was 65, 70 years old, and I just said, hey, you know what, I got another 5 or 10 years, and I'm just going to sit here in my little house. You know, I got a shotgun inside. I bring out my little flask of tequila once in a while. I watch TV, watch some movies or whatever, go for a walk out in the woods, take my dog out. You know, have a little fun with the wife, have some nice dinners, and, you know, live out my life. But, you know, then what about your kids? This is the thing. What about our kids? People eventually usually have kids. And so what about their kids? You know, I don't know. I mean, what's going to happen is going to happen. You can't be fearful of it. You just got to keep marching on. But this election is important. And I'm actually pretty glad that I'm in Thailand. You know, I am happy here. There are things that I want to do. I got things on my bucket list. I think that's what I'll do my next blog on. It'll be a list of my things on my bucket list. You know, like 25 things on my bucket list. Something like that. Because I do have quite a few things. I got things I want to do. I'm not ready to go yet, you know. And now my kids are getting older, and I'm watching them grow. And let me tell you something, Nicholas, you know, he's the younger of the two. Alex is almost 16. Nicholas is almost 14. And Nicholas is growing. He's bigger than I am now, or he's almost bigger than I am. Alex is bigger than I am. He's thinner, but he's taller than I am. He's learning how to play guitar. And, it, you know, it's nice to see your kids growing up. But, you know, I'm not like I said, I'm not ready to go. I want to see a lot more, and I want to do a lot more things. And I really hope that the United States and the government get their act together and they do what's right as opposed to what's best for them or what they think is always best for the establishment. And I think that's kind of what Trump represents. He represents someone against the establishment. And for good or bad, I think that counts for a lot. And it says a lot about the state of the United States. I don't like going places and going, I'm an American. It used to be I was proud. Oh, I'm from America. I'm from the U.S. Now it's kind of like you say that and people, oh. I mean, you know, whatever, I can't change it. I mean, I guess I could lie. Well, why would I want to, you know? So anyway, all right, well, listen, please, if you're not already a member, consider getting membership to my site. It will help with my photo projects. It would help with my vlogs. It will help with my equipment. It will help with everything. It's $49.95 a year, which is, you know, what is that? That's a little bit more than $4 a month. Like I said, I got my book, They Call Me Farang. That's theycallmefarang.com. If you want to get membership to my site, you just get more videos, you get podcasts, and if you want to communicate back and forth, I guarantee you, if you're a member, you will get emails back from me. So if you got questions, you got concerns, go ahead and write me, okay? And what I found is most of the guys who are members, they're not idiots. They tend to be fairly intelligent. They're not like these guys, I want to move that. Some guy, well, listen, I don't know how smart this guy is, but he wrote me through Facebook the other day, and he said, I'm a forklift driver. Can I go over there and be a forklift driver? I'm like, have you ever seen a foreign forklift driver in Thailand? I mean, you know, like a Westerner? I haven't. All right? In almost 22 years, I have never seen one. I've never seen a foreign plumber, like a Westerner, as a plumber. I've never seen a Westerner as a refrigerator repairman. So it doesn't happen. It's not going to. It's against the law. So, you know, most of the guys who they get membership, they already know that, listen, if I'm going to go over there, there are certain things I should do and certain things I should just forget about. And one thing that I've noticed as I've gotten older and the longer that I stay here is I just don't let things bother me as much anymore. I may say something, but, you know, like with the taxi driver, I may say something to her, like, hey, honey, you know, what's the problem? You're a taxi driver. If I ask you to go there and, you know, your shift, you don't have a shift, like, it's not like a shift is going to change when I went. It's not like it's pouring rain. It's not like the traffic is just to where it's not moving. It's just you don't feel like going. You're lazy. So I was trying to make her say, oh, I just don't want to. And she finally did. She just admitted it. But, you know, I mean, it doesn't really bother me. Listen, you know, if the lady's, you know, she don't want to go, she don't want to go. But I already paid her the money. If you want to give me my money back, then, hey, I'll walk across the street. I'll do what I got to do. I'll go through all the hoops and walk down the stairs, up the stairs, down the stairs. You know, I'll do what I got to do. It's not a problem. But give me my money back. And she didn't want to. But most of the time, if you just let things go. Now, I could have been a complete dick. And started a problem. If it was a guy, I could have started a problem with him or her or whatever. I could have really made a problem about it and just been a dick. But what good does it do you? You're sitting in there with a taxi driver. He makes a wrong turn. You could get all upset about it and you could be pissed off. Or you could just go, ugh, this is Thailand. Shit happens. And, you know, life goes on. And as long as life goes on, and it's not costing you an arm and a leg, you know, I mean, listen, cost you an extra 10, 20 baht, big deal. Come on. Now, you're talking about 200,000 baht because the guy makes a left turn. That's a little bit different. Then you got a reason to get a little bit upset. But, you know, that's the thing about living in Thailand. You're going to be like the Thais in some ways. I figure I am like a Thai in many ways. And one of the ways is Maip and Rai. I don't give a shit. There's a lot of things I just don't give a shit about anymore. So, anyway, that's all that I got. Yeah, that's all I got. So until next time, I'm Scott. I'm an American in Bangkok. Chok di lat jerk and lie.